Hello, I'm Peyton Squires, and I'm the host of the podcast. This podcast is for those who are dissatisfied with where they are at in their life and career currently. I used to be one. When I got out of college with my master's degree, I started working in banking. I eventually moved to a Fortune 500 company. I quickly found out being an employee was not for me. I was bored out of my mind and did not like it whatsoever. Something eventually lit a fire under me. I started studying for the CPA exam, listening to podcasts, and reading books every day. By doing that, I had passed all four parts of the CPA exam in 8 months and quit my job. I opened up my own tax firm, having never been paid to do someone's taxes before. That was in 2014. Since then, I've consistently grown my business, had a lot of success in other business ventures, including real estate, property management, among other things. And now, I'm looking for a new venture. I want to help inspire you and other entrepreneurs to achieve their potentials and dreams, as well as learn from the stories of these entrepreneurs as to see what has gone well and what hasn't gone well for them. Let's go create a bunch of healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. Hey, quick ask from you guys. If you ever got any value from these podcasts, I kindly ask you to rate and review it. It really is the best way to help us grow and reach more people. We want to get as many healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs out there as possible. Thanks. Now to the show. So, hello all. Welcome back to Behind Their Success. I want to welcome on the podcast Monica Pitts and Stacy Brockmeyer. We're getting a 2-for-1 today, which is awesome. Their company is May Create Design, and they create websites and marketing, and they're really good at it. Interestingly enough, they are both graduates of the University of Missouri, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
And they're both graduates of their top-rated agricultural program, and now they run a tech company, which is interesting. So Monica founded the company in 2005, and something like, this is according to Monica, and something like 13 years ago, you would have to ask Stacy because she knows the numbers. Yeah. Monica lucked into finding her to be part of the team. They've grown the business through lots of challenges, including demergers, childbirths, and many other challenges. Some of their company's core values include trust, integrity, collaboration, and communication. They also have a podcast called Marketing with Purpose, where Monica brings on a wide range of guests. They self-describe this as, it's a podcast with specialized, straightforward advice to make sure your marketing doesn't suck.
That's
guys,
right.
Welcome to Behind Their Success.
Thank you for having us.
Ditto.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. So give us a little more detail about how the company started and where you're at today, or a little bit of that journey.
I started interning after college, and I brought a portfolio with me. And so people thought I should have a marketing role. And so that's what I got hired to do. And then after working for the family business for a while, and then I worked for an agency, and it was terrible working for an agency. Every day I walked into work and I was like, why am I doing this? I even said that in my employee review. It was not the awesomest review. And then one day I was like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. My mom took me for a walk and she was like, honey, there's no time like the present to be hungry. Start your business now. You can do it. And so I did. And then it was years later, I have always had an account service person, like a project manager role, because that's not my strong suit. And I was like, Dad, I need a new project manager. Mine is moving on. And he was like, I got the girl for you. This girl, Stacy Brockmeyer, is the awesomest sauce that you've ever met. That was not the way my dad said it. Because Stacy had actually been working for my dad and at the university. And she was like half running his life. And so, Stacy, how did that interview go?
So I love to tell this story just because it's so funny that I didn't apply for a job with Monica ever. And so at the time, I had gotten married and I moved back and I was doing some substitute teaching and different things just to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And Monica calls me at 8:30 in the morning. I'm still in bed. Because I didn't have a job and I didn't need to be out of bed at 8:30. I was like 22 years old. Why wouldn't I still be in bed? And so like I roll out of bed and have a phone interview for a job that I didn't know I applied for because I didn't actually apply for it. So yeah, that was December of 2010 and we're still here.
I think what I find interesting about you guys is you definitely try to play by your own rules a little bit, right? You try to do your own things. So one thing I know you guys have done fairly recently with the company is moved to a 4-day work week. It sounds great on paper and in theory, but like, what problems you run into? How's that been going?
First of all, Monica and I made it a goal to create the life that we wanted.
Yeah.
And so that's where kind of this dream of doing a 4-day work week derived from, is that we both have young kids. They're kind of at prime ages for us to really spend time with them and mold them and make them into the functioning members of society we think they should be. So that just means honestly spending more time with them. And so last May, so May of 2023, we went on a trial 4-day work week, and we gave it until I think September. August or September, we were going to reevaluate. And basically when we reevaluated it from a cultural standpoint and from a monetary standpoint, they were both rocking. Like, we were doing a great job. Our revenue hadn't gone down any. Our people were coming to work those 4 days, like really ready to knock things out and get it done, instead of feeling like it was a grind. And Monica, you can totally add to this, but I think it's been a wild success for our company.
I think it's a huge benefit, especially as a small company, that we don't have a 401k, but we don't have like health insurance, right? You can have a health insurance stipend, but we don't have a company health insurance plan. And we have all come together many times and reevaluated it and decided that was still what we wanted to do. So I feel like this is a huge benefit to our employees coming to work for MakeCreate. And I don't want it to sound like we're just going to do this. And in May, we just started it. It took us years of ramping up really to get here. I worked 4 days a week 2 summers ago. Then last summer, Stacy worked 4 days a week and I worked 4 days a week when it was possible. And then we saw the benefits of it. But throughout this whole time, these last 2 years, really 3 years of doing business, we've just been honing in our processes and just carving out the things that take us too much time, that are not actually effective, and literally have changed some of the core processes in our business that we've been using for 18 years. Because we just looked at it and we said, this takes too much time. It can't work in a 4-day work week. It has to be different. And we had to be like, we had so many conversations in my office where Stacy would walk in and we would be like, yeah, this sucks. Like, it's always worked, but it doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it did take us that ramp up time to do it. And we took like baby steps along the way. Like, we decided not to work when our kids weren't in school during the school year. So the early release days and the holidays, we decided that was our first step. That was probably like 3-4 years ago, Stacy. Yeah. I still remember just sitting at the island in my kitchen being like, oh my God, are we going to do this? Because I was like freaking out and sad and not okay. And that's one of the most valuable things that Stacy gives me, is she empowers me. She's like, we can do this. It's okay. Like, we can be different. We don't have to be like this. And yeah, it took time.
And at the time, it felt like a huge stretch to be like, no, we're not going to work on the days that our kids are out of school. It felt like a big decision at the time, but really it gave us some flexibility in our personal life, because as working parents of children in school, the school doesn't run on the same calendar as business does. And so it did feel like a big stretch. And I think the other thing to note with the 4-day work week is that we don't work 4 days a week every week. We work 5 days a week, a lot of weeks too. Every 8 weeks, we work 2 Fridays in a row, and we do 2 days of professional development and improving our processes. For example, we spent a Friday recently just like, we did a whole day of goals and where we're going to go this year personally and professionally, and just try to pour into our employees. In that respect, we're not taking that time out of the normal workday. We're adding our Fridays back in. And then in our busy times of year, we do commit to working the 5 days a week, just because it is also a business. Yeah. Like I said, we are creating this life for ourselves, but it is a business that also has to thrive to have employees and to get the job done too.
Sure. Yeah. There's always times where you got to step in and serve your people, because they pay the bills, right? Yeah, I think I would back up just like for the listener to talk about, everything they, Stacy and Monica said there was, they talked about the intentionality behind it. Going into it, they had the reasons why they want to do it. And then actually they had the courage to even start taking the steps, because what Stacy described there, that now it probably doesn't seem like a big decision. It's just normal. That's how they do business. But before they did it, I guarantee you it was this big, scary thing. And they're like, oh my gosh, how are my clients going to react? How are the employees going to react? All these different things come rushing through their heads. But they set the intentionality and then actually started taking the steps to accomplish it.
Yeah. We called in a business consultant to look over it all to make sure that we weren't insane and that we hadn't forgotten a number in the spreadsheets. And we talked through all of the things that we would need to do to be able to continue like serving our clients. And that's where my devil may care attitude would always come in, because I'd be like, do you know the number of times that we have built this karma? We are so flexible and forgiving and understanding and to a fault a lot of the times. And we've built this karma. If they don't like it, they don't like that we decided we were going to take care of our families.
Maybe we don't have the same values as that person.
Yeah, that's so huge. And as any business or whatever, especially as a leader, start really expressing that culture, the people that don't agree or whatever your values are naturally going to fall away. And they're just going to get refilled with the people that do appreciate your values, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't have to like dread seeing that client on the calendar and having to meet with them, right?
Amen.
Now, I'm sure 99% of our clients are great, but I think all entrepreneurs can relate to that to some degree.
Especially at the beginning when you're just like taking on slogging any project you can to eat.
That's a really good point, Monica. For a while now, we've focused on people who have the same values that we do and haven't taken on just anybody and everybody, because we realized that we can't do a great job or live up to our standards.
10 years ago, we started that journey of just pulling out clients that don't meet our core values and seeking industries and business types that meet them. We did it when Aveline was born, because I realized that I was giving up a lot by going to work every day, because I had these beautiful small people at home that I wanted to be with as well. And I was like, if I'm going to give up this thing to go to work every day, I should get to work with people that I like, that respect me, that we can give back and be in a synergistic relationship. And we had a whole 2-day planning session where we were like, how do we figure this out? We deserve to have people that respect us, because we're good. It's not like we had just started.
Almost a decade old.
We're proven.
There's still times that it's scary, though, to turn down work or to say, no, that's not for us, or we don't think we can fulfill those needs for you. It's still scary. And I think it's scary for any entrepreneur, anybody who's running a business. But like you said, Peyton, those gaps, if you will, get filled with people who really do make good clients and who are really synergistic.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if we were talking here earlier or offline, but yeah, we talked about staying in your lane and that get really good at what you do. And if you stay in that lane, that's really where you can leverage and you get all these efficiencies to have these 4-day work weeks and still be able to serve your clients in a top, fantastic way. What would you describe as your superpower, Monica, if you want to go first?
I would say I refuse to take no for an answer most of the time, and it doesn't matter what it is. If this is the box, I'm going to very certainly live about over here. Like I'm way outside the box most of the time. And I think that helps as a business owner, though. And it helps us create something that people want to be a part of, because we don't feel like we have to adhere to the norms. And we believe that most problems are solvable, even if they hurt while you're solving them. Yeah.
What about you, Stacy?
It's a really good question. I think my team would say that I am a spreadsheet master. I like to say that I'm a yes and person. I love to say yes. I love to tell people yes, but I also want to have the and, the plan to go with it, so that I can back it up, because I'm a perfectionist or an achiever that way. So I like to problem solve my way through. So I'm a yes and person.
Love that. And just from knowing you guys to the degree I do, like, you guys are the perfect kind of yin and yang, is almost that visionary and integrator. And you guys come in, you're all skills very married together in kind of a special way. And I think that's one of your all's big keys to success, definitely, from my point of view.
Yeah, it's true. Stacy is like boots on the ground, and I'm support, but I'm ideas, and it works, because she'll come to me and be like, we need to tell our clients this, we need to accomplish this. And I'm like, okay, I got that. I'm going to go do these three things that are going to make that happen. And then I'll show it to her and she'll be like, that's just right. And I'm like, all right. And so then back and forth too, I'll be like, oh my gosh, we need to think about this in our conversations. And she'll be like, okay. And then she does it. So it's a very back and forth thing. I love to feel like I'm supporting Stacey, and I know Stacey's always supporting me. So
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have obviously made a lot of good decisions. You've stuck out 2005 to now. I mean, that's almost 20 years, right? Of a company. Very few companies last 20 years. That's a heck of an accomplishment. With all that being said, what do you think is the biggest mistake you've made in business since the company's been started? And I'm sure that you can go through a whole list of them, but name one for me.
I think one mistake we've made, not just once, is deciding we should be more than what we actually want to be, or different. I think that sounds interesting in a world where we are supposed to strive to be more and strive to do more and strive to be bigger. That's the culture that we live in, right? And I think we've tried to reinvent ourselves or to add things to what we do on a number of different occasions. And I think that what we've come around to is we are just going to be really good at this thing that we do, which is building websites.
Yeah. Like the biggest mistake that I made was being afraid to do it by myself. At the very beginning, I had a partner, and that dissolving of partnership went a lot easier than the second time that I brought in partners, and they were family, and it didn't go well. There was lots of me crying under the desk at one point in time. Stacey would be like, oh man, here she is again. Crap. At one time, she was literally screening my emails and she would be like, don't read the one that's in your inbox. I already read it. I'm going to summarize what it says so you don't have to read it the way they wrote it. And now we have to find a solution to this. And I was like, oh my God. This is
also
horrible.
Here's chocolate and nachos.
So whenever people are like, I have to have this other person to make this thing work, I'm like, I don't know. I don't. Just don't. If you can be brave enough to do it on your own, because you can, you really can. And since we have been on our own, which is since 2016, we've done nothing but grow and reach our goals. Mm-hmm. And before, like when I had any set of business partners, it wasn't that way. Like we couldn't grow and reach our goals because they were not of the same values or mindset as us. And they had this ceiling of where they felt things needed to be that they felt were normal. And we are always reaching past that ceiling. And that's who we are. And so it made it really difficult to be awesome. And it cost me a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Since 2016, the biggest thing is that we've had the autonomy to change.
Yeah.
You know, so we didn't have to get our change approved by someone else. It was just Monica and I would sit down in a room and say, is this the right decision? Here's this factor to think about. Okay, maybe that part's not a good decision, but this part's a good decision. Let's try it. And I think that's the difference between having to have three or more other people weigh in on that decision who aren't in it every day. Yeah. I think that's the thing, is if people who aren't in the process and in the services and in the clients and in the business every day making those decisions, that's tough. It's tough because they don't see the necessity for it.
Yeah, it's hard for them to necessarily know what's going on. And yeah, it's different partnerships. In my line of work, I've seen a lot of them go sour, just clients and different things. Expectation setting is huge. Entering a partnership, you need to be very clear about whose roles, what is the end goal? What are we even trying to build? What are we trying to accomplish? Because like Monica said, you get into partnerships. If you don't set clear enough expectations, they may have thought they knew what you said or wanted, and that may not be what you actually said or knew you wanted, and causes a lot of problems, and especially 50-50 partnerships. Those get really ugly because it's just a stalemate.
I second that, Payton. Get those expectations out front, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Following up on a big mistake, it's 2005 Monica. If you could go back there and talk to 2005 Monica, what would you tell her?
Just keep working hard. Because I don't know. I wasn't afraid that I couldn't do it. I was just afraid to do all the parts of it, if that makes sense. Yeah, you'll get there. You got this.
Just a bit of encouragement, right?
Yeah. And I think I would have told her that you don't need a business partner to get you there either. Like you could do it on your own. And maybe all those business partnerships were there to teach us how to be like really good, clear communicators, because Stacy and I go through ups and downs too, because while we're not co-owners of the business, if I die, it's basically her business, not basically like it is. And that makes us much clearer communicators because we went through the second rodeo together, right? So I'm sure that happened for a reason, but I would like to tell other Monica that she can do it on her own.
Do you think younger Monica would have listened to you?
Maybe. I mean, she is pretty strong-headed, but I also really thrive with other people. And so that's what made it feel like so much fun. And it's tricky because you go through college and I didn't know what entrepreneurship was. I didn't know what running a small business looked like. I'd never seen it before. And I feel like I didn't understand all of the things that it could be and how fulfilling it could be. I just saw all these people getting their big jobs at these big companies. And that was like a version of success, right? You get a job with a big company and then you're successful because you have this and you think it's going to be all these synergies and everything. And one of the things that we know from working with all of our clients is that a lot of the times, the bigger the company, the more red tape and the harder it is to get stuff done, which to Stacy and I is extremely demotivating because we just want to get crap done. And so I feel like that version of success was like, I didn't have enough of a broader awareness of what could be. I just knew that I was unhappy where I was. And my mom was like, you're probably never going to be happy working for someone else. You should probably just go, you strong-headed monster, you. Do your own thing.
I bet you're not a very good employee, right?
It's tricky. I do have a job where I'm an employee. Like I teach aerial lessons and I'm an employee and I understand the rules and I'm not going to step over my boundaries. I'm good at that when you set clear boundaries. And then I also am not afraid to come to you and be like, hey, this doesn't work very well in a very diplomatic way. Because we are an employee of every company that we do work for, are we not, Stacy?
Yeah.
And I can somehow manage those relationships. It's just when something's really wrong and people are unhappy, not having the ability to be flexible sucks.
I don't think Monica or I would be a very good employee to anyone in a corporate manner. I think we would be a good employee. We wouldn't be happy because we wouldn't have the autonomy. We can do a job, like Monica said, as long as we have the expectations, like we're going to do things to the best of our ability, but that doesn't equal us being happy in that role either.
I have such a similar story and one can relate and with my last real job. I can't set in that box either. And it's not that I can't be a good employee, like anybody that ever worked for, and I'm sure you guys too would say, oh, they were fantastic employees. Yeah. The point Stacy was making is like, probably were very unhappy, right? Because just the personality and the entrepreneur type personality in you ladies is that you need that autonomy to even slightly be happy, right?
And I can remember in my agency job, I was a developer and designer there. And I was like, hey, so here's the deal. I can do it this way. That's the way you said I should do it. But there's a ceiling on that. It's not going to work beyond this point. And so like I could spend the next 8 hours doing this task this way that you've assigned it, but it's not going to work beyond this point. And they were like, that's the way that it was decided. So that's the way that you have to do it. I'm like, and you do know it's not going to work beyond this point. And they're like, yeah. And then when we hit that point, it was like, all right, it doesn't work. So what do we do now? Oh, we're going to charge the client thousands of dollars to redo it. And I'm like, but we could have just done it the right way the first time. And it would have taken me like 2 more hours. And that was the stuff that would just make me so nuts. Or we would sit in a meeting and we would plan out this like elaborate, amazing thing for a client and have the best plan to help them reach their goals. And then the owner of the company would be like, here's what I think we should do. Here's what I decided. And I'm like, but that was Jeremy's idea. Like he came up with that, sir. And he would never funnel it back to the team. And it was those types of things that I was just like, this is not the way I want it to be.
You find situations like that, especially as the business grows, it gets more bureaucracy and layers and you get middle managers with egos and you get all of that comes in and you speak about that in your background. I'm sure that was a big motivator for you guys to get really intentional about designing yours and creating that culture. You guys speak about culture a lot and you can tell when you guys talk about it, a lot of companies have their 6 or 7 words and they're just posted on the website of these are the things we stand for. But if you're not truly living it or talking about it with your teams, it's a waste of time. They're just random words. But you can really tell when you guys speak is that it really means something to you.
I agree. And the time that Stacey gets the most angry is when people question her integrity. She will be like on fire. I'm like, stay out of the office. You're going to get burned. And she'll be like, can you even believe that? And I'm like, they are questioning one of your core values. I can believe that you are very angry because this makes perfect sense that you are angry.
Stacey, I can 100% relate because that is my number one touch point. I'm not perfect. I never will be. I try my best. My integrity is everything to me.
I approach everything from like my heart's in it for the right reason. And absolutely. So when they question that, it's, man, that's like really questioning my literal core.
That's probably the number one thing that hurts me as an entrepreneur as well, as somebody trying to question my integrity of trying to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Guys, tell us the best way people can get a hold of you or connect with you guys. You guys do fantastic work in the website marketing space. What's the best way people can either get a hold of you or interact with you or maybe even look into doing some business with you guys?
So we, for the last few years, have focused on construction companies, nonprofits, and small business. So we have developed a number of different processes to be able to help people at different price points. So we can do things that are as simple as like a brochure website where you need 3 or 5 pages that tell what you do, all the way up to we've literally built learning management systems that integrate with other softwares and all kinds of things. So really big projects that are really intense and a lot of programming. So we're able to help anybody in those realms as long as you're a good human. We like it.
You got some values, right?
You got to want something that doesn't suck. Basically, because we're not going to let you do that.
We always say good design costs the same as bad design.
And just different resources, right?
That's a good point, Peyton. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can call us because we actually answer the phone. There's a phone number. It's 573-447-1836. Yes, you can call us. But then also you can check out our website, which is maycreate.com. That's maycreate.com. And if you want a good laugh, just go read a couple of the pages because they're kind of snarky and fun.
Check out these awesome ladies. What's really cool, if you go to the website, you can really see their culture and their personalities come through. They're really authentic in that kind of way, which is amazing. It helps inspire other people to live their lives and try to develop their own values and culture in their own businesses. So that's really all we got for you today on the show. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Peyton Squires, or going to peytonsquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.